Let's try that again.
You are love, you are light, you are Lord over everything. Alpha, Omega, Jehovah, the King of Kings. Wonderful Waymaker, worthy of my offering. Hallowed be thy name.
Okay, I've got more words than that. And what I need you to do is every once in a while, you just jump in and say, Hallowed be thy name. Can you do that?
Hallowed be thy name.
John Pease, you're shaking your head, and I've got more faith in you than that. You can do this. You can do this. You can. I know you can.
You're the answer to all of my problems, and you solve them. Hallowed be thy name. You supply all my needs, and I call you Abba Father. Hallowed be thy name. You're the almighty fortress in time of tribulation. Hallowed be thy name. And I'm more than a conqueror every situation. Hallowed be thy name.
Here we go.
You are love, you are life, you are Lord over everything. Alpha, Omega, Jehovah, the King of Kings. Lord over everything, Alpha, Omega, Jehovah, the King of Kings, wonderful way, maker worthy of my offering, hallowed be thy name. You're the only God, and there will be no other, hallowed be thy name. Now 10,000 angels couldn't tell how much I love you, hallowed. Well, I'm gonna lift you up, lift you higher and higher. Hallowed be thy name. And then everyone will see that you've set my soul on fire. Hallowed be thy name. You are love, you are Lord, you are Lord over everything. Alpha, Omega, Jehovah, the King of Kings. Wonderful way, maker worthy of my offering. Hallowed. You are life, you are Lord over everything. Alpha, Omega, Jehovah, the King of Kings. Wonderful way, maker worthy of my offering. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name.
Listen, I would like to thank God personally for transporting all of us down south for that last song. Always wanted to preach in a Southern Baptist, you know, African American, where it seemed like that was really, really good. Thank you very, very much. Happy Valentine's Day!
Happy Valentine's Day!
You gotta love Valentine's Day, right? It is a successful Valentine's Day if, at the end of today, you feel love. Right? The definition for Valentine's Day is that it's successful if by the end of the day you feel loved, so we go out of our way to make that happen, do we not? I mean, Mr. Dave told me today that, you know, he woke up this morning and gave his wife the gift and, you know, remembered he needed to wear red, unlike me. I see Rob remembered to wear red, right? Most people remember to wear red. Bill is just thankful and he was reminded that he put his shirt right side out this morning. It is successful if we feel loved. Now listen, I don't know about the rest of you, but I carefully took notes during prayer time this morning, went on for a very long time, just for the record, and it was awesome. You should know that there are times when perception and reality don't necessarily match, right? There are, if you're not careful, you can look around and you can think that nothing's happening in your life. You can look at your marriage and think, man, nothing's happening. You can look at your relationship with friends and you can think, oh, nothing's happening.
have any, or I got the same ones for 20, 30 years. I'm not growing, right? You can look at your job and go, man, I've been in the same job for 20 years, 40 years, 10 years. For some of us, 1 year seems like forever. And we look at perception and we think sometimes things aren't happening, but man, I pray that you really listened to the prayer request and the opening when Patty talked, because what you saw and what you heard was that there's a lot of growth in this church. Did you see and did you hear that there are people who are trying to apply that which they've learned? There are people that are exciting. There are people that have said, hey, I didn't really want to do this. I did this, and look at the outcome. Right? If you think that Bill wanted to go yesterday to a funeral, he's not really a funeral crasher type of person. Right? That's not what he wants to do. But he went, and what he said was, I realized I knew more people. I still had a lot more connects there than I thought. Right? But we're looking at people's lives and we're saying, listen, sometimes perception isn't always reality. And so guess what? If we make Valentine's Day all about how I feel, if we make Valentine's Day about I feel loved, therefore it was successful, you're going to have a problem. Let me give you an example of that. I had Joe make me some object lessons today. Actually, I totally forgot until she walked in this morning that she was doing this. And it's really cool. Joe wrapped up for each one of you a chocolate bar. Now listen, Joe could have gone to the store, bought the chocolate bars, and just handed you a chocolate bar. You could have felt loved if you're my son and you love chocolate and everything is about chocolate. And so Joe and Timothy are on a really good place right now, right? Timothy's going to feel very, very loved, right? But Joe took an extra step and she actually wrapped these chocolate bars with something that was important to her, right? And she can explain that at the end, and I don't want to steal her thunder on that. But she took time and she took energy to do that, right? Now, if you receive that and you're Timothy, what happens? I feel loved. Man, Joe loves me. This entire thing is about Timothy, right? But if you're allergic to chocolate and you get this from Joe, do you feel loved? No, right? Now, can you make it so that you think that she loves you and be like, man, Joe just totally forgot that I'm allergic to chocolate. She's really not trying to kill me, right? She does not hate me. She's not angry. You have to work and you have to think through it, right? You have to think like, listen, I've got to get past this and I have to get to something, right? That becomes super important on days like Valentine's Day. Does it matter what your spouse, what your friends, what somebody at church, does it matter what's in that bag, what's in that box, does it really matter? For some people, it's all that matters, right? I wanted this. I wanted a ring for Valentine's Day. I got some flowers. If I was expecting a ring, my perception was a ring was coming, and I received flowers, and there was no ring on them. It was no little trick or anything like that, right? You're not like my cousin who got a ring in the bottle of her wine glass and drank and never paid any attention to the fact that it was in there in any way, shape, or form, right? I think if you're not careful, what you get becomes the source of whether you're loved or not. Listen, I take that and I say, we've been doing a service for a while, the same service, which is God is love. We say, listen, if you're not careful, you can do to God the exact same thing that we do to each other, which is we say to each other, if you don't love me the way that I want to be loved, then you don't love me. And God says, listen, my love is perfect. My love is real love, and therefore it can't be based on feelings. So when we go down through this list and we say love is kind, love is patient, well, I don't really feel like being patient, I don't really feel like being kind, and I really don't feel like God should be patient and kind. I want it right now, and I really don't want God to be kind to somebody that I don't like. So our feelings get caught up in this whole thing, don't they? And by the end of the day, there are going to be people who will think that this Valentine's Day was a complete failure. There will be people who have been loved on that are going to feel great. There are going to be people who have been loved on today who didn't feel any of the love. And there are going to be people who just simply weren't loved on today. And that's a scary part. That's what we want to learn from. That's what we want to get by, is it doesn't matter what you feel. It matters what's real. Does that make sense? So I want to talk today really quickly about two things that are important, but I want to take them a little bit different view, hopefully. So will you join with me in prayer? Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the fact that it is a day set aside to remember that we're supposed to love those who are closest to us. Lord, those that have invested in our lives, those that we have invested in. But Lord, ultimately, today ought to be a day where we are just simply in love with you. Lord, you've given us the ability to love people. You've given us the ability to love you. But Lord, we need help in doing it well and doing it right. And if it's all about the material things, if it's all about getting things, Lord, that's not true love. So this morning, we just ask that you would open up our eyes to what true love is. In your name, amen. If you have your Bible, let's turn quickly. Hopefully, I'll just read it this way to you. If you have your Bible, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That was for you, Jane. I was just going to show you that. That's how much I love you today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've been here enough that your Bible actually ought to be, just it just ought to go there. Right? I'm going to read the first verses that we usually skip because today they're super, even more meaningful and more important. It says this, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now listen, today's one of those days where you are not allowed to say that your husband, your wife, you know, your parents are a resounding gong. Okay? But listen, every other day, there's some people, including myself, who probably sound a lot that way, right? Man, we can quote theology, and we can quote what people are supposed to do, and we can quote what they're supposed to be, but we do it in such a way that we sound like a resounding gong or cymbal. I used to dislike, by the way, the gong show. Maybe some of you guys like that. I just couldn't stand it. I can't stand the fact that somebody would go up there and gong somebody who's up in front trying to do. It's terrible. It's a nightmare for me. I would never do it. I would never do it, so nobody here should be thinking about doing it to me. Right? Number two, if I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all of my mysteries, or all the mysteries, and all the knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and I surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, then I gain nothing. That's what today is about. But it's not yours and my love. It's not our definition. We live in a world where people like to define things for themselves. And they like to take that which God has defined and then they change it for themselves. And this is Paul saying, listen, this is God's love, not your love. And then he goes on to say, love is patient, love is kind, doesn't envy, does not boast. It's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. We go through those quickly. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And we heard that presented to us last week. And it says, it always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. God changes, Paul changes something a little bit. Whenever you get a list of things, you want to really pay attention to the things that maybe are a little different, right? In a long list. And in this list, there are some things that God is, there are some things that God is not. And then Paul says, there are four things that God always is. Always is, right? So God is kind. He is, you know, he's kind. He is patient. He's not boastful. He's not proud. But let me tell you, We're going to reiterate something that's super important, and that is he is always protecting you, and he is always trustworthy, right? Those things are important. We have this idea about protect. Last night, my son made my wife and I dinner. And it was really nice when your son really wants to cook, because he tries really hard to make really cool things. So last night, he made my wife and I chicken cordon bleu, which happens to be one of my wife's favorite things, and I'm not going to make it. It's really nice to have a son who you just pay the bill and then he makes it. I recommend that highly. Right? And so Timothy's putting this together, and I got to thinking that, man, you know, there's a lot in this thing. So he's got the chicken, and he's beating out the chicken and making it flat so that he can roll it together. And he's putting the ham on it, and he's putting the cheese in the middle of it. And then it comes to putting it together, and he puts, matter of fact, he had me put the toothpicks in there. Now, these aren't just any toothpicks. These are beautifully colored toothpicks, right? These are beautiful toothpicks, right? So we put the toothpick in, he puts the cracker crumb stuff on top of it, and he puts it in the oven and cooks, right? And so I'm thinking through this whole thing this morning, and I'm thinking about how can I come up with an object lesson out of a chicken cordon bleu? And it became about, there's some important things, right? There's some important things about cooking the chicken and stuff. The first one is that I'm trying to protect the chicken. Ultimately, I don't want it to be dry, right? I want it to be undercooked. I want it to be perfectly done, right? I'm trying to protect the stuff that I put within it from burning, right? Cheese burns when it gets on pans and all that kind of stuff. So we got to make sure that it's kept in there, right? I'm protecting that which I put within it, that which I've invested, right? I want to protect the taste so I season it just right. There's a lot of protecting of this chicken cordon bleu. If you're a chef, that matters. If you don't take that seriously, what happens when you serve it to somebody? They have dried out chicken, right? The seasonings aren't in it, so it tastes way salty, or it doesn't have any salt, or whatever it is, right? And ultimately, you put this whole thing together, and you put a toothpick in it. Why? Because I'm trying to hold it all together. I'm trying to protect it, right? There's only one problem with our little scenario here, and this is not to throw my son under the bus, because I just admit it was my fault. We put toothpicks that were beautifully colored into the chicken, and we cooked it for way probably longer than it was supposed to be, because Timothy said, I think it should come out. And I said, no, I think you should leave it in longer, right? And so when we open up the chicken, it is, by the way, it was fantastic. He did a great job. There's only one problem. Actually, there was multiple problems. The chicken cordon bleu took on the color of the toothpick. Now, there's a problem with that because I didn't think that through, but my chicken cordon bleu happened to be blue. Now, that's really cool if that's what you're going for. I don't think that's what Timothy was going for, but I have blue in my chicken cordon bleu, right? There's times when we're protecting, right, what we have. God says that. He says, listen, love protects. Listen, guys, we protect each other pretty well at times, right? If somebody came from the outside and they're trying to attack our families, if they're trying to attack that which we're doing, that who we are, we get together, we protect, right? And I want to look at a story really quickly about this. So if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew. And it's a very familiar story, so if you don't have your Bible, that's fine. But Matthew, chapter 26, starting with verse 50, this is where Judas has come with some guards, meaning a bunch of guards, right? A lot of people, they've come to the garden, and they're about ready to arrest Jesus, right? So it's Jesus and his disciples, and then a whole bunch of guards, temple guards, you know, people that were coming along for the arrest, and then there's Judas, right? And in chapter 26, in verse 50, it says this, Jesus replied, friend, do what you came to do. That's really important. He could have called Judas anything, but he called him friend. And then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and they arrested him. And with that, one of Jesus' companions, which just happens to be Peter, right, he reached for a sword, drew it out, struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. You've heard me preach about that, saying that he's either the greatest aim in the world or he's really bad with a sword. Okay? Cuts off the ear, right? He is trying to do what? He's trying to protect Jesus. Totally lost in this whole thing. The fact that for some reason Peter is carrying around a sword, And he sees these people coming to attack Jesus, and what does he do? He jumps out and he tries to protect. Now, he doesn't ask Jesus. He doesn't ask anybody. He just pulls out a sword like I would do if I had it. And he just starts attacking, right? And then it's really important, verse 52, it says, "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him. "For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that they say it must happen this way?" Listen, we're all really good at these kind of moments where we just jump forward and we just protect people, right? Somebody comes out and attacks my wife, they're going to see another side of me, right? Whether that's verbally, whether that's in actions, they're going to see another side of me, right? But there's a problem. Because just like our little toothpick was protecting from the outside, right? Keeping what we needed safe. There's a question that needs to be asked in this whole protecting thing, and that's this. Who's protecting those that you love from you? You see, the toothpick was protecting the chicken cordon bleu from everything else, right? But who's protecting the chicken cordon bleu from the toothpick? See, Jesus had a plan. And it wasn't his plan, it was the Father's plan. It was God's plan for his life. And Peter comes in and says, "No way, man." And he protects Jesus, right? The problem is, Jesus didn't need protecting from God's plan for him. He needed support to go through what God had planned. You know, there are times in our lives where you and I are protecting people from that which God has for them. And with a right attitude and with right intent. Do you know how many times I want to protect people from car crashes and from cancer and from sickness and from financial problems and from divorce and from all these things? We want to protect those that we love from those things, don't we? We don't want to see them go through things. If you do, there's something wrong with you. But we love to do that. But there's a problem, and that is that sometimes, with all the things that I just mentioned, with the exception of divorce, sometimes God says, "I'm going to allow you to go through this. I'm going to allow you to go through this because it's going to do something on the other side." Now, listen, God is so big, even with things like divorce, even though he does, "I hate it, I don't want to be a part of it," I can use it. I can do something with that. But sometimes, as we've talked to people who said, "If I hadn't gone through this, I wouldn't be here. If I hadn't gone through this pain, I wouldn't be able to say when it goes away, 'Praise the Lord.' I wouldn't be able to relate with people. I wouldn't be able to do the things that I'm doing." And so sometimes you and I, we want to protect. And we jump in the way and we say, "No way." All right? Peter had a problem with this. He's always jumping in front of Jesus and saying, "No way. No way will I ever deny you. No way are you going to die. No way are these guys going to take him." And Jesus is saying, "There's a plan and you're getting in the way." So this morning, God protects his plan for you. He protects you according to that plan. Be careful that you're not stepping in front of people, that you're not defending people when they've not asked you to defend them, when you're not doing things that go outside of God's plan, and you can do it for the right intent, right? And with the right attitude. "I love you. I don't want this to happen to you." There have been things that have happened in mine and Ruth's and Timothy's life that none of us have wanted to happen to each other. But we wouldn't be here, literally, and we wouldn't be where we are in life in general without those things. You see, Jesus called Judas friend because friends get you where you want to go. Judas was the only one of the disciples that got Jesus where he needed to go. Now, you read whatever you want into that. I'm just telling you truth. The rest of the disciples wanted to keep Jesus from going, right? God used Judas to get Jesus. So there are moments where we have to look at things and we have to say, "Hey, maybe I'm protecting somebody from something that God wants them to go through. So we have to be careful what we say, because protection comes through actions, no doubt about it. But you know, it also comes through words and attitudes. We protect people through attitudes. Ever been with somebody who you, let me set this up. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who tells you how badly somebody else is treating them, right? And then the three of you, or the four of you, or 10 of you get together, and you find yourselves attitudinally treating that person poorly, right? Because somebody that you love has gotten hurt. So therefore, you go into a meeting, and you're like, you're standoffish. You've not heard that person's side of the story, by the way. You're just protecting with your attitude. You protect with your words. Ever just vomited on somebody because they did something? And you're just, right? Wrong place, wrong time. You're going to get it. Or maybe it's intentional. Maybe you just really give somebody what you think they deserve. You've been their friend for a very long time. You've been keeping this long list of wrongs. And all of a sudden, you're given an opportunity. You just, right? Now listen, the third thing is what I just talked to you about. Who protects spouses from each other? Who protects best friends from each other? Who protects the people in your life that you're protecting from you and from your words and from your actions? You see, we have this double standard in life, and it's this. Now listen, I can say whatever I need to protect you, right? But then when you do something to offend me, now it's a problem. Do you know, every day, best friends are ending up being obliterated. Because all of a sudden, there is no need to protect. We're just going to say what we feel. We spend all of our time protecting each other, but now it's okay because we feel something, and we can just tell our spouse that. And we can say it however we want to say it, because it's truth, isn't it? We can say it however we want to say it, because that's how we feel. You see, on Valentine's Day, there's going to be a lot of love, but do you know how many arguments there are on Valentine's Day? Do you know how many spouses fight because you didn't get me what I wanted, because you didn't take me to the right place to dinner, because dinner didn't go well, because you didn't honor me enough, because we went out to dinner, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights to celebrate Valentine's, but you didn't take me out on Valentine's? Because there's one day during the whole year where you have to act like a really good spouse, and that's Valentine's Day or anniversary. Maybe there's two. The rest of the times, it doesn't matter if I break commitments. It doesn't matter if we don't take care of each other well. But it matters on Valentine's Day. We look at each other and we say, listen, my chicken cordon bleu got blue. Because I didn't pay attention to what was protecting, right? Directions probably either. That probably say somewhere in there, don't use colored toothpicks, right? But guys, there are people that you're pledging to protect that, by the way, think that you're protecting them, that need to be protected sometimes from you. And God says, listen, I always protect. Always. That means that even if I want to do. There are lots of times in the Old Testament where God looks down and says, oh, that I could just destroy you. Oh, that you would get out of the way, Moses, so that I could destroy a million people and start again. Right? And Moses says, that's not who you are. You always protect. You always love. There are times when God knows his character and he says, listen, I am protecting you from my character. This is what you deserve is death. This is what you deserve. You deserve judgment. You deserve to get what you deserve. It's funny how that works, isn't it, in life? I have a totally different perception of what I deserve on a daily basis than what anybody else, including God, has. I deserve a box of chocolate every single day. Take that down, Rob. Right? Other people are saying, you deserve a box of rocks every day, Andy. Right? You deserve this. We have a totally different idea. And God says, I always protect, but I protect according to my plan for you. I protect according to what I have for you. Listen, I would finish the protect thing with this. The whole little analogy of umbrellas, right? An umbrella only protects you from rain as long as what? You're holding it and you stand under it. I love it when my wife says, "Will you hold the umbrella for me?" Because instantaneously we have a problem because I am 6'2 and she is not. So if I hold the umbrella at my height, what happens to my wife? Great intent, the umbrella, honey. But unless she's like right on top of me, which is a very good Valentine's moment, right? Unless she's right here, she's not going to stay dry if she's off to the side. Unless you get one of those super humongous ones, and it's still not going to work so well because there's a big difference. What she's saying to me is, "Annie, can you please hold the umbrella so I don't get wet?" That's what she's saying, right? And that's what I should be doing. Okay, honey, and if I hold it at her height, I'm going to get wet. Right? But God says, "Listen, I have an umbrella, and it moves, and I hold it at the perfect height for you. And it will protect you from the things that I need you to be protected from, but it will allow." Guess what happens when you're standing under the umbrella? You can be protected from the rain, but not necessarily from the wind, can you? Not necessarily for some of the other stuff. The umbrella does not protect you from the things that are rolling because it's so windy that could hit you. It doesn't protect you from certain things. It only protects you from the rain, and if you're smart, I suppose, from the sun. Right? You can use them for both ways. But they're not made to protect you in other ways. And God says, "Listen, if you stay under my protection, if you go according to my plan, I will take care of you." Here's where most of us are, though, in life. So we start walking out from underneath the umbrella because we want to do it our own way, right? And when we do that, we walk under our own protection. And the minute that our protection breaks down, where do we run? Right back under the umbrella, right? I'm right back under the, "God, you said you would protect me." No, God says that he will protect you always if you do it his way. But if you walk out from underneath his protection, what happens? You're assuming you're God of your life. You're going to protect yourself. Don't complain to God about it. I do, but don't do it. You guys don't do it. Right? Also, don't do it to other people. If other people are attempting to protect you and you walk out from underneath their protection, don't complain when they're not protecting you. Don't complain when your husband or your wife isn't protecting you the way you want them to, which is translated as, "I'm going to go walk and do my own thing," right? The second thing that God says is that he always trusts. This is really simple, and I'm going to make this literally 4 minutes long. Ready? You've heard me say, I'm going to repeat it, and it's going to be online, so you can listen to it as many times as you want. If you trust anybody to be anything other than human, you are an idiot. Period. That's as simple as it gets. If you put your trust in people who are human, who are by nature, God says, going to do wrong things, going to be selfish, God says in Galatians, here are the sins of the flesh. Here's what the flesh, here's what a human will do. They will be selfish, they will be proud, they will cause problems for people, and they will do all kinds of goofy things, right? If you trust people, and you put yourself in their hands and you trust that they are never going to let you down, that they are never going to hurt you, that they are never going to choose themselves over you, that they're never going to make wrong choices in general, gosh, you're an idiot. No offense, because I've been there. I can say that because I probably am the number one, right? We love this idea, and we've set up this idea that when we love people, and we put out and we say, "I trust you." And that means you're never going to let me down, ever, ever, ever. If that's true, then I'm going to go back a couple weeks and I'm going to remind you of what I said, which is this. Why does God say you have to forgive somebody 490 times? Don't you think that Jesus thought maybe people weren't going to be trustworthy? Don't you think that Jesus thought that through a thing and God thought that whole thing through? Yes, that's right. Right? God's thought it through and he said, "Listen, I'm going to build you so you're built for relationship. I'm going to build you so that you're for each other. You need each other. But your trust is to be in me." Right? In Proverbs, it talks about the fact that, listen, we can trust in material stuff. We can trust in people. But then it goes on to say, listen, put your trust in God. Some people trust in horses. Some people trust in chariots. Some people trust in the things that they've made, the things that they've collected, the money that's in their bank accounts. But we're to trust in God. God is trustworthy always. He will do what he says he's going to do always. The problem is that when we talk about trust, we talk about it as if it has to happen right this second. And God says, I will do what I said I'm going to do. Guys, I am committed. God is committed to blessing this church and this body and these people. He will do it in his time. He's not going to do it in our time. So if your trust is in me or any other leader in this place, you're crazy. Your trust has to be in God. If your trust is in your spouse to make your marriage great, then you've got a problem. If your trust is in your boss to make your life comfortable, you have a problem. If your trust is in your friends to always say and do the right things, it's amazing how we love accountability until somebody does it, and then we hate it. And then we find reasons for why it's okay that we're doing what we're doing. And most of that is we attack other people. Right? Great friendships are lost because we trust in people blindly and just say, you're never going to let me down. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Every single person in this church is going to let me down. You're going to choose to stay home someday, and rather than come to church, and you're not going to have a good reason. And therefore, all of the work and all the energy that I put into a message, or Bill has put into a message, or somebody else has put into a message, you're saying, well, it's really kind of valueless to me at this moment. What's important is I stay home. Now listen, that is not a lecture, because given the opportunity, I would love to stay home. Right? And I have done that to people. I've chosen to say, you know what? My needing to get some sleep and rest is more important than whatever you prepared, whatever God laid on your hearts. But if you don't think that it's going to affect me at least a little bit when your face isn't here on a Sunday morning, you're crazy. Maybe when there's 200 or 300 people here, maybe when I can't distinguish faces and I don't know where people sit, so that when, you know, you're moving, I know Jan's not here today. No, Patty's not here today. Know where they sit. And Jan hasn't laughed all Sunday. And that makes me comfortable, and it makes me laugh when he laughs. And I know that he's engaged in what we're doing. Right? Listen, if we want to grow as a body, do we trust people? Yeah, here's what I trust, and I'm going to close with this. I trust that the God of this universe is working in you, and he's working through you, and that you're working with him. I heard that this morning. I wish I could go back through the list and tell, here's what I heard, here's what I heard, here's what I heard, how God is working. I trust that when you fall, God is going to help you get back up. And it is not my job to keep you down. It is not my job to say, hey, you've been labeled with this, or you're useless forever. It is my job, and I believe this with all my heart, to come up alongside you and say, now what can we do? How can we? But when you choose not to get back up and you blame other people, when you choose to blame your relationship with God on the lack of somebody else because you're not doing this, I'm here, right? That's a problem. That's a real problem. I trust that God is working in. I've seen growth in all of you. I pray that you've seen growth in me. I pray that that is your thought process for each other, that this Valentine's Day, it's not about what you got in a bag, what you got in a box, what God gave you today, right? For some of us, that might not be so good. Maybe God gave us something, allowed something to happen this morning that wasn't great, changed our plans. But I trust that God's going to use all that stuff. Right? I would close with this. We've been praying for Sydney. And Patty stood up and said, hey, listen, here's the deal, right? Here's the deal. We can either get frustrated that the deal with people doesn't look like the deal we would like it. We want them to be here. We want them to be doing whatever we want them to do. All the people that you're working on at work, all the things that you're doing. Or we can be ecstatic that guess what? God is working and it's over here. That God is doing stuff and it's over there. listen, I don't know that I'm going to India to speak, just for the record. I really think Bill just is a whole setup thing, and he sent me this email thing. He's just trying to get rid of me. Right? This is how it happens. All of a sudden, Andy, you should go to India to speak, right? But there's a church, if this is true, there's a ministry, and there are churches in India that are now connected with us that we have an opportunity to pray for, that we have an opportunity to be a part of. Am I frustrated that all those India people aren't sitting here in these pews? Yeah, if I let myself have that thought process, because you know what? Not only do we need to be protected from each other, we need to be protected from ourselves. That's a real damaging thing. When you sit and you think, I'm not being used, or I could have spoke better, or I could do this better, or I could do this. You start thinking on those things. That's a tough thing. When you start thinking about how your spouse could be better, that's a problem. God always protects his plan, what he has in mind, what he's going to do. And God always trusts, but he trusts in himself. He doesn't trust in you. He does not trust that you are the answer to everything he needs. He does not need you. He wants you. Big difference. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that there are things that you just always do. Lord, you always protect us, and you always have trust in who you are and your abilities. Lord, you never sit around and doubt whether you can do something. You don't have doubt whether you can heal relationships, whether you can heal us physically, whether you can provide for us financially, whether you can do anything. Lord, you have complete trust in who you are. Lord, that is what we are to do. We're not to doubt whether you can do what you say you're going to do, or whether you want to do what you say you want to do. But Lord, we're to always trust that you are working in the lives of other people. Lord, we can look at other people and we can point out all the wrongs, or we can look at other people and we can say, God is working. Lord, I pray that we would have that kind of trust. But Lord, that we would also protect each other, but we would protect each other according to your plan, and we would protect each other from ourselves. Lord, our words and our actions can hurt people that we love. Lord, I pray that you would do that for us this morning. In your name, amen.
If you would please come to your feet and turn to number 349. Oh, how he loves you and me. Thank you.